Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save: fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
This is a true story. This morning, I was on my phone drinking a cup of coffee, searching the driving directions from my house to Las Vegas, Nevada. I'll tell you why I was doing that for a very specific reason coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's great to have you here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger here today. Before we get to the Las Vegas stuff, and Vegas has weighed in on the dogs in a very interesting fashion, before we get to that, let me begin with Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm, because also my morning ritual, my morning routine, it's going to scroll through Twitter and just see what's happened in the world since I've been sleeping. I kind of sleep like a barnyard animal. I go to bed very early. I wake up very early, and so I miss a lot of things over the course of the night. And as I'm waking up this morning, one of the things I saw on Twitter was our friends from Pro Football Focus talking about some stat involving Jake Fromm. I think we have this. I'll show it to you, and then I'll kind of talk about it. So here's the Pro Football Focus college account. Now, Pro Football Focus is kind of a analytics slash scouting website, and they cover the sport of football. A lot of this at the NFL level. Some of this at the college level. A lot of this at the NFL draft level. They kind of cover the scouting part, the intersection sort of scouting and stats, basically. And so here's what they say about Jake Fromm. That Jake Fromm finished fifth among SEC quarterbacks with 20, quote, big-time throws a season ago. This just seems so made up. He's fifth behind Tua Tagovailoa. You might expect he was first. He had 31 big-time throws a year ago. Kellen Mond from Texas A&M at 25. Joe Burrow from LSU at 24. Jake Bentley, somewhat surprisingly from South Carolina, had 21. And Jake Fromm had 20. Now, when I saw this tweet from Pro Football Focus, I laughed because – the honest truth is, I don't really know, just based on that tweet, what a big-time throw is. And on the graphic, the fancy one that Pro Football Focus shares, they don't really get into any kind of explanation of what a big-time throw is either. But I do know this. If Georgia's going to win a national championship this season, when it comes to quarterback metrics that are important, Jake Fromm doesn't need to be fifth in the SEC. A big step forward for Georgia in terms of closing the gap with Alabama and eventually getting back to college football playoff and winning that championship. A lot of that, fair or unfair, just rests on Jake Fromm's shoulders. And so we would say that what's the recipe for Georgia winning a national championship? Well, big time throws one way or another is a part of that recipe. Now, between you and me and everybody that might be listening right now, we might all define big time throws a little differently, and sometimes we have a tendency to redefine these based on looking back to the past more so than actually evaluating them in the moment. But when it comes to Pro Football Focus, I actually did a little research on this and come to find out when Pro Football Focus says something like big-time throws, Fromm apparently had 20 last year, fifth best in the SEC. When Pro Football Focus says big-time throws, apparently they mean something pretty specific by this. Let me show you what a couple of their writers have done as far as defining what a big-time throw is. This is a couple different guys there, Sam Munson, Steve Palrazio, talking about this. A big-time throw is on the highest end of both difficulty and value, they say. While the value is easy to see statistically, the difficulty has more to do with passes that have a lower completion percentage the further the ball is thrown down the field. The big-time throw is best described as a pass with excellent ball location and timing, generally thrown further down the field and or into a tighter window. Now, that last part of that phrase is really important to me. Great quarterbacks throw into tight windows. Great quarterbacks don't need wide open receivers. Great quarterbacks simply deliver the football where it needs to go. That's good stuff, I think, from the folks at Pro Football Focus, kind of drilling down on exactly what they mean when they say big time throw. Now, how do we take this and do something with it that matters for our evaluation coming up in 2019? Because when Pro Football Focus describes it that way, I think most people would say, yeah, that kind of sounds like a big-time throw. But in the moment, as we're evaluating a season, how do we know that we're getting enough of that from Jake Fromm? I think we all may slightly have different answers to that question as well, but there's one thing I think that can certainly help us in terms of how we evaluate Fromm. The biggest knock on Georgia's offense going into this season is going to be, How do they replace so many receivers that they lost a year ago? How do you replace a Riley Ridley? How do you replace a Mecole Hardman? After all, Hardman may be one of the focal points of the Chiefs' offense this season. He was at Georgia last year. How do you replace his absence? How do you deal with the absence of a guy like Terry Godwin, who's a veteran, who'd been a trusted target for a number of years? Don't forget Isaac Nanda, part of this conversation as well. Statistically, he had a pretty good year for the Dogs last year. That's four really prominent pass catchers that Fromm doesn't have anymore. If you want to go back to the end of last season, when Fromm was talking about the level of success he enjoyed, a lot of that success he credited with being very comfortable and confident in what his wide receivers were doing. In fact, here's how Fromm said this before the SEC championship game.
I feel very comfortable with our guys anytime they're manned up on anybody. From all the work we do throughout the summer, throughout fall camp, throughout the season, our guys are making plays right now. They're doing an awesome job, you know, creating separation versus man coverage, whether it's zone, whether it's man. You know, our guys are doing a great job.
So that's Fromm saying, yeah, listen, I'm having a big year, and I feel good about myself, but part of that is because I know I can lean on my receivers to take advantage of man coverage and create that separation. Well, Pro Football Focus just said a moment ago, what happens when that separation doesn't occur? What happens when elite wide receiver talent's working against elite defensive back talent, and all of a sudden you have to throw the receiver open? That's what happens in the NFL all the time, and apparently that's what Pro Football Focus may be nudging Jake Fromm to do as well. Now, I think that Fromm's fully capable of taking this next step with his development. I think he's fully capable of showcasing more of this in 2019. And the development of the wide receivers that work with Fromm may be one of the ways in which we determine just how successful Jake really is, because he's going to have to take, in some cases, unproven, inexperienced wide receivers, and he's going to have to help turn them into capable top-flight players. Now, based on what we saw at G-Day, and I realize that G-Day, for the most part, doesn't matter a ton, but based on what we saw at G-Day, the results are kind of mixed in terms of how this new crop of receivers, some guys in expanded roles, some guys in brand new roles, how they're doing with this. After all, the overall statistical performance of the offense that day wasn't that great, and you know, Fromm kind of, for the most part, took the heat, to the extent there is any heat coming off a spring game, for what we saw there that day. Here's what Fromm said back in April.
I didn't play my best today, so you know, they probably didn't get to shine as much as they wanted to, but they're stepping up, man. They're doing a great job. We're getting a lot better. The summer's going to be great for us. It gives us another opportunity, a couple more months to work out the kinks, but they're going to be special.
So there's something that Jake Fromm says there that I think is really crucial in this discussion. As we look to see Jake make more quote-unquote big-time throws this season, get this new crop of receivers more involved in the offense, you hear that there at the end of what Jake Fromm says after G-Day. This summer is going to be crucial. It's one of the reasons why the excitement of Dominic Blaylock arriving on campus was so well-received, and the anticipation for when George Pickens gets here is going to be so well-received, and Demetrius Robertson, who we didn't see on G-Day, getting a chance to be in an expanded role here this season. This summer will largely go on without us being able to see it. The media won't be able to see it. In some cases, the coaches won't be able to see it because these are all voluntary workouts. But you hear Jake Fromm say, the next step for me is having a really good summer with my wide receivers, giving them a chance to grow and establish that chemistry with me. And at one point this spring, Fromm even went into a little bit more detail about exactly what that's like. How do you get that chemistry? How do you set these new receivers up for great success here this season? For Fromm, it comes down to one word, which he uses over and over and over again. Here's Jake again.
Yeah, reps, talking to them, getting a feel, seeing a lot of different looks from the defense. It really helps when the defense gives us their best look. And I think it really just comes down to a lot of reps, you know, a lot of extra time watching film with those guys, seeing what they're seeing. Hey, this is what I'm seeing. It's just an ongoing back and forth. It's kind of like a conversation. And you just kind of start it that way and keep building it and keep throwing the ball.
So for me, the overall bottom line of this discussion is this. The oldest football conversation in the world is pressure being on a quarterback to win the big games and get a team over the hump for a championship. That's what Jake Fromm deals with in 2019, but that's not unique to him. Every quarterback that's come along before him has dealt with that as well. And the next step for Fromm in helping Georgia get that done, I believe Pro Football Focus is right. It is more of the, quote, big-time throws. However you may define them, Pro Football Focus has its specific definition that it wants to use, and it kind of somewhat makes sense to me. And making more of those big-time throws, I think, depends on getting a new crop of receivers more comfortable being in bigger roles than they've ever been before. And this summer, away from the watchful eye of the media, away from the coaches, kind of away from the spotlight, the reps they're getting together, working on the timing and the precision and all of that other stuff, that is the step that the Georgia offense needs to take to go in 2019, where it hasn't been yet under Coach Kirby Smart. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Kroger here today. Thanks for being with us. We are live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rep, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And as I said a moment ago, huge thanks to Kroger for bringing the entire show to you here today. And Kroger's got a great offer for you right now that I want to make sure you take care of, especially if you've got some summer travel coming up soon. How about getting three times the fuel points on hundreds of items throughout the store? Kroger ice cream, begging treats for your dogs, Hershey's chocolate syrup, Red Bull, a whole much more. It's literally hundreds of items. You just simply have to look for the tag. Three times the fuel point savings right there, Kroger. So if you're getting ready to take some travel here this summer, Kroger can set you up to have a little more cost-effective travel methods with a little bit more gas in your tank for a lot less money, courtesy of our friends at Kroger. I hope you will check that out. All right, coming up in a moment, I'm going to go around the doghouse and talk about some of the Vegas stuff. Before we get to that, let me give you an update on where things stand with our Dog Nation Days of Summer. Now, yesterday, I gave you an email address for if you are in the West Georgia area and you plan on coming over and seeing us there that night, starting Thursday, June 13th, at the Callaway Resort and Gardens for Dog Nation Days of Summer. I gave you an email address to say, if you're interested in being a part of our VIP reception, which begins that night at 5 p.m. before the big event kicks off at 6 p.m., mostly that's been reserved for the folks who are staying over with us and as a way of saying thank you to them for being with us there that night. But for a few of you said, we don't really need the hotel, but we want to be a part of the event. We'd love to be a part of the VIP. So I gave you an email address yesterday. Now, I'm going to give this email address again today, but I will have to tell you, we had a huge response to this yesterday, and we literally almost have sold out all of our allotment of the VIP tickets. There is a ticket for this, and we've almost completely sold them out. But my people have told me that I can do this one more time and get kind of one more day's worth of responses from folks who were coming over for the event that night but not planning on staying. So here's the email address one more time. It's dognationhelp@gmail.com. If you want information about the VIP reception at 5 p.m., how you can get a ticket for that without staying at the hotel that night, one more day to do that, dognationhelp@gmail.com is the email address to go to, and you can get all your questions answered about that. Now, let me give you one more thing on Dog Nation Days of Summer here really quickly. For the VIPs who are staying with us there at Callaway Resort and Garden starting on June 13th, we are making this a true, authentic VIP experience. That means we have some gifts, and one of those is a personalized gift. Now, if you don't get your room booked by basically the end of the day today, we can't guarantee that we can get this personalized for you. In fact, we won't be able to. So we may still have some rooms to sell next week, kind of leading into June 13th. But this is the last day to get the personalized VIP gift. So if you've been on the fence, and I'm the same way, I'm always the last to kind of book everything. Don't be last minute on this. Please go to DogNation.com. Find the link to Dog Nation Days of Summer. Find information about Callaway Resort and Gardens in particular here, because we're at a deadline on this. I want you to have the personalized VIP gift. Now, if you book after this, you'll still get a gift. It just won't be personalized. So I want you to get the personalized VIP gift. So please go to DogNation.com. Find out more about Dog Nation Days of Summer, and I can't wait to see you there on Thursday, June 13th. All right, with all of that said, let's go around the doghouse right now, presented by Meriwether and Tharp today. And one of my favorite days in the college football offseason calendar is when the Golden Nugget, one of those old-school Vegas sports books, it's downtown. It kind of has that classic, you know, almost Rat Pack type feel to it. I love the Golden Nugget. I love when they release their games of the year because they give you a lot of point spreads for a lot of college football games. In fact, they gave you a whole handful of Georgia games. I think it's seven total for Georgia. This comes from the Golden Nugget. Let me give these to you. Then I want to give you one in particular that stands out more so than any other. Georgia's a 9.5-point favorite versus Notre Dame. That seems about right. I'd even take it into the double digits. Georgia's an 18-point favorite at Tennessee. Georgia's a 20-point favorite versus South Carolina. Georgia's a 7.5-point favorite at Auburn. Georgia hosts Texas A&M as a 12.5-point favorite in late November. Then the regular season finale versus Georgia Tech. Georgia's a 20.5-point favorite. However, the one I did not give you that stands out most to me is at the cocktail party, Georgia is just a 3.5-point favorite versus Florida. Now, I find this to be, I mean, just unimaginable. How in the world is Georgia only a quote-unquote 3.5-point favorite versus Florida? So much so that I was doing research on what the maximum bet would be allowed in Vegas on this right now, and how could I most easily get to Vegas? The flights were way too expensive for me this weekend, so I'm looking into driving. It's like 29.5 hours from my house. Come to find out, that's probably pretty expensive too when it comes to fuel mileage. But I mean, am I missing something? Am I wrong about this? This just seems like an incredibly, incredibly off point spread for a game between these two teams last year. Then Georgia won by 19. And I know it was a different coach, different programs, but in 2017, Georgia won this game 42-7. There's something about this that does not quite make sense to me. I'm a little bit late on this right now. I'm going to talk more about this in a moment. I did some research on this, and even after doing some research, I still kind of come back to the same conclusion on 3.5 points for Georgia versus Florida. Just seems way too low. And y'all say, well, B.A., you're the Gator hater and you're biased and everything else. Let me do this later on in the program. I'll lay out my research on this. And I think we still kind of come back around to this kind of being a game in which Georgia ought to be favored by a whole lot more than 3.5 points. But the Vegas folks, listen, those palaces didn't get built because they were wrong a ton. So what can I do with that a little bit more coming up? It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Merriweather and Tharp. And listen, most people would rather talk about anything but divorce. I totally get that. However, if you're going through divorce, this is a tough time for you, and you're left with really, really tough questions. And you want to put a plan in place that gives you a chance to feel normal again and you know, gather the information needed and not put this off in terms of learning what you need to know, but really acting quickly and getting the information that you need. That's one of the reasons why I recommend Merriweather and Tharp here on Dog Nation Daily, because not only do they have a wealth of expertise when it comes to this, they have a lot of different ways where they offer this kind of stuff to you totally free. I'm talking about podcasts and blogs and information like that. If it's something that you're going through, you want an expert by your side. That's what Merriweather and Tharp is. You can find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. The website, once again, theatlantadivorceteam.com. Check out my friends Merriweather and Tharp if you need to. All right, it's great to have you here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. We'll do more on this Georgia-Florida stuff a little bit later on. But for now, a guy that knows a ton about the Gators and knows a ton about the SEC, he's been in Destin this week for the SEC spring meetings. Let's talk to Matt Hayes here on Dog Nation Daily. And I've been reading Matt Hayes for a long time, and it's a pleasure, I believe, for the first time to have him here on Dog Nation Daily. He works for Bleacher Report. He does some radio there at 1010XL in Jacksonville, Florida, and he has been in Destin, Florida this week for SEC Media Days. Matt, really appreciate you being here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Thanks for sharing some of your time with us, and we hope you're doing well.
Sure, my pleasure.
So let me begin with this, and obviously we come from a Georgia perspective here on this show. That's kind of our thing when it comes to that. We come from a Georgia perspective, but when I see the Golden Nugget out in Las Vegas put its point spreads together for some of its early look-ahead lines, I see Georgia's only a 3.5-point favorite over Florida right now, a team that you're geographically located pretty close to. What am I missing on this? Georgia won by 19 a year ago. How much have these two teams changed that some what I would presume is pretty smart folks in Vegas might be saying this year's game is going to be way closer. Where do you land on that?
I don't know if I would say three, but I think what Florida is hoping is it's closer, because in last year's game, with, you know, when there's 11 minutes to go in that game in the fourth quarter, that was like a, what, two-point game. So I think Florida looks at it that way. And what they're hoping is Felipe Franks developed over the last month of last season and during the spring practice and hopefully during the fall camp is what they're thinking, to become a guy who can make those third and make a play throws. He couldn't do it consistently last year. Can he be the guy that can do it 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 5 times and put them in position to continue drives and score and keep the defense off the field? And if that's the case, then I think, yeah, I would say that 3-point thing is probably about right. Cause I think if they get a quarterback that can do that, then they're closer. I mean, if they don't, he's the same Felipe Franks. But no, I don't think that 3-point spread is accurate at all.
In particular on Franks, I mean, what have you kind of seen from him? Because I'm thinking we're probably of the same mind on this. He made one throw in the Georgia-Florida game this past year that it was as good a throw as I saw any quarterback make all year long. But over the course of his career there in Gainesville, he's made a lot of other throws that would be described quite differently. I mean, how do you handicap Franks going into what is, for him, a pretty pivotal year?
Yeah, well, I mean, would you just nail that? I mean, that touchdown throw was, I mean, you're not going to see a better throw in college football, and I mean of anybody. So he has the physical tools, but he'll make that throw and then four other throws over the course of the next one or two drives, and you scratch your head thinking, what in the world is he doing? What is he seeing? And that, I think, is the big question. You know, what kind of Felipe Franks are you going to get? I think that kid, you know, he was benched. He was benched, and they were going with Kyle Trask, and Kyle Trask breaks his, I guess, ankle or foot, one of the two, in practice 2 days after he was benched, and after Franks was benched, and then here comes Franks. And I truly believe that's a situation where sometimes players, they see the abyss, and they're staring at it, and they realize, look, I'm done here unless something happens. And he saw it, and he was a completely different quarterback for the last month of the season. And I think he probably had his best game against Michigan in the bowl game. It's the idea that he's got momentum behind him. It's the idea that they're feeling better about him, not only on the field as a thrower, but the team loves him, the locker room loves him, they're playing with more confidence. And again, I'm also a guy who looks at the reality of it. Until he goes out there and does it on a consistent basis on the field, I'm not going to be a guy who's full in on this.
So you had a tweet this week that got some attention, and as you know, the future of Georgia-Florida around here gets talked about all the time, and I'm sure, you know, down in Gainesville it's probably somewhat similar, about, you know, should the game remain in Jacksonville. Kirby Smart probably threw a little extra gasoline on that fire with some of the things that he said this week. But your tweet, that you had a source, I guess, close to that process there, saying they make more money by playing in Jacksonville, and that there's a new deal being ironed out that's going to make even more money for these two teams. Is the presence of more money enough to keep this in Jacksonville over the long haul, or is there a chance that what I'm assuming might be a preference for a coach like Kirby Smart to do this home and home, could that potentially win out? What do you think that the future of Georgia, Florida, and Jacksonville is right now?
I'm not so sure it's about the football game as much as it is about the overall athletic budget, because I think when you look at that, I mean, home and home, I guess, would be a nice thing if that's, you know, if you want to get back to that, I mean, who knows how many years, how many decades since then. So I think the reality is this. Each of those teams make about $3 million per home game in the regular season, all their home games, okay? They make more than that right now playing the game in Jacksonville. They're going to make significantly more in this new deal. So let's just say they make $5 million per every year in Jacksonville, all right? So you're not only giving up $2 million every time if you return the game to campus sites, but the year when it's not a home game for you, then you're giving up the $5 million. So the reality is you're giving up $7 million because you want to play a game at home, and that's just not fiscally responsible, especially in this era of everybody's trying to find ways to generate revenue to help other sports to be Title IX compliant. It's just not responsible to do that. I think this happens every time when the contract gets to the point where they're starting to talk about negotiations. Both Florida and Georgia talk about, you know, well, maybe, you know, we should try something different. And then Jacksonville comes up and sweetens the deal, and then they stay. And I expect the same thing to happen again.
That's really interesting. Let me play devil's advocate for a moment, because honestly, as a fan, I like the game being in Jacksonville. I like the tradition of what we've always called the cocktail party. I think that's fun. And obviously, you're not the first one to say we've kind of been down this road before in terms of flirting with not playing the game in Jacksonville and then seemingly cooler heads prevail. However, there is something to me, though, Matt, about Kirby Smart's current argument that feels a little bit different. Georgia has changed its scheduling model moving forward. It's going to play a lot more non-conference road games. I'm talking about the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. Kirby Smart's argument about losing that date for recruiting may be the only thing that challenges money in terms of being important in the minds of college football administrators. Isn't there something about the potential argument that Kirby Smart could be very quietly making that makes this a little bit different than the debates about Georgia, Florida, and Jacksonville in the past?
I mean, you can certainly listen to that argument, but I mean, the reality is this. If your entire recruiting calendar for the year is based on one home game, every other year, and that's going to be critical to the way you recruit, then you're doing something wrong. And clearly, Kirby is not doing anything wrong recruiting. He's as good as anyone right now. So I don't know that I'd buy that. I mean, I'm sure he believes that, but he's, look what he's doing right now with it in this current situation. He's getting whoever he wants, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm not buying that.
So let me finish up with this. You've been in Destin. You've seen the SEC spring meetings. There's been some talk about the alcohol stuff. Obviously, you know, it seems like Georgia wants to move a little slower on this than some of the other SEC teams might want to. I know the transfer portal's all over the place these days. After having listened to some of these coaches and administrators the last few days and hanging around fellow media members, what's your overall takeaway from, I guess, what you've learned from having been in Destin?
Well, I mean, each one of those teams is getting ready to get over $50 million for being a member of the SEC. So that's usually what this whole weekend is. It's a hey, look, we're great. Here's your money, and here's how we can be better. And it's the same thing. They're being very proactive in the way they're viewing some of the hottest topics in college football right now. It's not just alcohol. It's also the name, image, and likeness deal. And I think they've always been a situation in that league, be it under Roy Kramer or Mike Slide, and now Greg Sankey, where they've been proactive, and Sankey's doing that with the officiating right now. He's being very patient with the whole name, image, and likeness deal because he clearly is not for it, but he wants to wait and see what the NCAA working committee comes back with before he makes a decision on it. So, I think it's business as usual there right now, yeah, really.
So, Matt, you got a lot of places people can find you. As I said, Radio 1010 XL in Jacksonville. A lot of dog fans live down there. Obviously, Bleacher Report. Where else can people find the work that you're doing online?
That's it. That's it. Bleacher Report and listen 12-3 on 1010 XL in Jacksonville.
Well, we appreciate your time here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. Hope you enjoy the weekend, and thanks for being a part of the program.
Okay, man. My pleasure.
Good stuff there. Matt Hayes, Bleacher Report, longtime college football writer. Interesting topics he kind of weighs in there. And, you know, Matt seems to clearly be of the belief that ultimately money's going to win out. It was one of the things that he said I thought was kind of interesting is this isn't just money for the football program, but it's money for the athletic department in general, that this ends up being about, you know, funding some of these other sports. And I'm not capable of drawing the straight line from how all this revenue gets dispersed amongst the other sports, but that's at least something to pay attention to. And y'all know, going back to since this program started, I've been a big advocate for the so-called cocktail party in Jacksonville. That's where I like seeing this game played. I like going down there to the Golden Isles and the Georgia coast and putting my feet in the sand for a little bit, getting a little sun in the month of October. That is never a bad thing. But as I said to Matt, even though we've done this debate before and veteran sports writers will tell you, oh, I've been down this road and the game's eventually going to be in Jacksonville, I do think there's something that Kirby Smart is saying now, which makes this a very different kind of debate than we've had before. What Kirby, and by the way, Kirby's no stranger to finances. You know, Kirby is a business-minded guy. He's got business education. He has kind of a marketing mind with the way that he approaches the Georgia football program. This isn't one of these, you know, caveman coaches that doesn't have any concept of anything other than X's and O's. Kirby Smart gets the business of athletics, and he's good with donors. He's good with adding money to the coffers of the Georgia program. So he doesn't disregard money flippantly, but there's a way of looking at Kirby Smart's body language and all this and reading between the lines with some of his somewhat cryptic comments to make you almost be led to believe, ooh, maybe Kirby Smart says, I don't care if we make more money doing this in Jacksonville, it's better for the program to do it every other year in Athens. And I think it's really amazing how many people are a little short-sighted about the overall recruiting value of that extra big home game. Because while you say, well, listen, Georgia's been number two in the country in recruiting the last year, number one the year before that, number three the year before that, they're doing just fine in recruiting. There's something about not getting these marquee home dates where you don't really know what you miss out on because you didn't have the game. You have nothing to compare it to. So I think Kirby takes the recruiting part of this seriously. I think when you look at the Notre Dame game this year, the Texas A&M game in Athens this year, these are the games that are going to have the most recruits, and you better believe that Florida, were it to ever be played in Athens, would also be a hotbed of recruiting as well. So I think this is a more complicated subject than we've seen when it comes to Georgia, Florida, and Jacksonville in the past. I think it's going to be really worth paying attention to. Let me also kind of shift gears and change back to where we were before. One of the things we also talked about Matt Hayes with was Georgia versus Florida and Jacksonville. According to the Golden Nugget, Georgia's a 3.5-point favorite. Now, in defense of the Nugget here, there was another It was Bet Online, I think, that put out a Georgia-Florida point spread not too long ago, and they only had Georgia as a 4.5-point favorite. So this is not the Golden Nugget just, you know, having too many mimosas for breakfast and making kind of a crazy line. They're not the only one to have Georgia favored by less than a touchdown here in this game, but just because more than one entity has come up with the same conclusion doesn't mean that I think it's any less foolish. I think it's crazy. Now, I tried to be aware of my blind spot on this, because many of you know, I make no bones about the fact that I'm a Georgia fan, and as a Georgia fan, I believe good Georgia fans are supposed to be Gator haters. I don't like Florida. And so when I see a point spread like this, I'm very, very susceptible, or maybe skeptical, about my own ability to reason through this. Am I just seeing what I want to see? Am I not seeing the truth about Florida? So I try to dig in and do a little research on this, and let's see if we can kind of figure out kind of where things stand for Florida. First of all, credit to Dan Mullen. One of the things that a lot of the media folks assume about him kind of is true. Dan Mullen as an underdog has kind of been a pretty good coach. Last year, Florida, as an underdog point spread-wise four times, they went straight up three of those times. They're 3-1 straight up as underdogs a year ago. Going back to his time at Mississippi State, now I can only find data for the last 5 years. And also, this is one of those things where I used OddsShark for my database. Different databases sometimes can spit out slightly different information, but I use OddsShark for mine. Going back the last 5 years when Mullen was at Mississippi State, he was an underdog 27 times, and against the spread, Mullen went 17-10 in those games, and he actually won 9 of those straight up. So 17-10 as an underdog at Mississippi State for his last 5 years with 9 straight up wins. However, here's where things kind of get interesting. While Mullen overall has been really good as an underdog head coach, that has not always been true against Kirby Smart. In fact, frankly, it usually has not been true. Go back to last year, for instance. Georgia won that game by 19 points. Do you remember that Georgia at the start of the game, heading into the game, was only about a 7-point favorite? So as about a touchdown favorite, ended up winning by 19. Go back the year before that in Athens when Mississippi State came in. 2017, Mullen's last year. Do you remember that Georgia was only about a field goal favorite or so in that game? What, 31-3, something like that? So that's two instances in which, as an underdog, Dan Mullen got completely whitewashed by Kirby Smart. And then go back to his 8 head-to-head matchups as head coach at Mississippi State against Kirby Smart as defensive coordinator at Alabama. Mullen was just 3-5 against the spread in those games. No outright wins, of course, but only 3-5 in those games as an underdog against the spread against a Kirby Smart coach defense. So the overall takeaway for me is, and you know, this is a somewhat small sample size, but it ain't that small, that Dan Mullen's been pretty good as an underdog, but not typically against Kirby Smart. And I think the common denominator for these Kirby Smart coach teams, both as a defensive coordinator at Alabama and as a head coach the last 2 years against Mullen at Mississippi State and Mullen a year ago against Florida, is Kirby Smart had the talent advantage on his side. And this is the one thing that I think really matters here. I know that Mullen is the master of doing more with less, and the media loves that kind of stuff because it makes him sound smart. But ultimately, the simplest explanation is usually the most correct explanation. And Kirby Smart just usually has way better players. And Kirby Smart, historically in his career, has used those way better players to dominate Dan Mullen. And frankly, I don't see any reason why that won't also be true in 2019 as well.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
By the way, before we do our SEC Through, let me send out a special thank you real quick here, if you do not mind. We had a great gift sent to us here at Dog Nation World Headquarters from the folks at Southern Thunder Barbecue. This is a really awesome thing. A great collection of barbecue sauce sent by Brian Tucker and the gang over there at Southern Thunder Barbecue. They sent so much, we were able to share this with our whole team. And I've already heard from some of the guys and gals that work with us. They're already already using this. And somebody was using it to cook last night, and they were already bragging on just how good this stuff tastes. So huge thanks to Brian and the whole gang over there at Southern Thunder Barbecue in Fitzgerald, Georgia. They run a really cool barbecue cooking school as well. So good folks, great friends to Dog Nation. They shared some barbecue sauce with us. And listen, if you want to know the way to my heart, barbecue sauce is a pretty good way to get there. So that is really good stuff all the way around. I really, really appreciate that from the folks at Southern Thunder Barbecue. Let me also do this for a quick second. I mentioned some of the point spreads involving Georgia for those look-ahead lines of the Golden Nugget. Let me do a couple more of those from around the rest of the SEC here for a moment, because I thought there was some kind of interesting stuff worth maybe us chatting about here just for a little bit. Let me stay with Florida just for a moment. Week 0, which is like August the 23rd or 24th, whatever, Florida and Orlando against Miami. Gators just a 7.5-point favorite over Miami right now. And I think this is a very interesting game. Now, this seems like the kind of game Florida's going to have a huge fan advantage in Orlando. Florida seemingly would have a talent advantage over a Miami program having to reboot itself, the new coach. We don't quite yet know who the Miami quarterback's going to be. I would say be very, very careful as a 7.5-point favorite. And this kind of speaks to kind of where I've been on Florida for really most of the offseason thus far, which is I can't tell you which games Florida's going to lose, but when you look at the litany of point spreads against Miami here, against Auburn later on, LSU later on, you see a lot of these sort of touchdown games. Now, 7.5, slightly more than a touchdown, but somewhere within that kind of one score window, you see a lot of those games for Florida. Historically, those don't all break the same way. Historically, you typically split your one-score type games over the course of time. Doesn't mean Florida will split those exactly this year, but that's what the historic time-over-time scenario for college football has been. Be very careful with Florida as a slight favorite, semi-slight favorite, in a whole bunch of games this year. That's worth paying attention to. You talk about a great barometer roadmap for the SEC. How about this one? Auburn, Oregon, in Dallas. Right now, Auburn's a 3-point favorite. Now, I think that this is a game that I've said before that I believe that Auburn wins. I'm confident about Auburn here the same way I would have been a year ago with Auburn with Washington and Atlanta. Now, there's a little bit different travel scenario there because, you know, Dallas is not right next door for Auburn necessarily. But I think Auburn's got the kind of defensive line led by Derrick Brown, who came back for his final year, that a Pac-12 team like Oregon just is not going to see a ton of. I think that kind of styles make fight scenario gives Auburn an advantage here. And you want to get a little bit of a window in how the SEC West might go, look at Auburn, what it either does or doesn't do against a team with a very good quarterback like the Ducks. It'll give you a chance of determining just how deep and competitive the SEC West may be this season. Same weekend, by the way, Texas A&M at Clemson. I put this in here because it was of note. I think Texas A&M's pretty good. And in fair and balanced coverage here, I want to point out that Texas A&M, who I believe is pretty good, Vegas on the road at Clemson, has them as a 17.5-point underdog right now. So, listen, I'll be the first one to sort of bang on Clemson playing an easy schedule and bang on Clemson for having a rubber stamp punch ticket to the college football playoff, and I don't frankly think I'm wrong when I say those things. However, Clemson's still an elite team. If you are sitting in the preseason with all the work that Jimbo Fisher has done at Texas A&M, if you're sitting in the preseason, sitting as a 17.5-point favorite on Texas A&M, I don't care where the game is played, that speaks pretty well of what people view Clemson as right now. So credit to Dabo for having a pretty, pretty comfortable cushion, apparently, against Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M. Credit where credit's due there. Now, final game I want to mention, and I find this to be really fascinating. How about Alabama hosting LSU? Now, I realize that LSU hasn't done anything against Alabama in forever. Doesn't 16 seem like too many points? I mean, doesn't 16 seem a little too much? Connor Riley shaking his head. He says no. 16 seems a little much for me right now. And as I said, I know what the recent history has been. You know, LSU could have played Alabama for 200 years this past season in Baton Rouge. They were never getting over the hump there. Could not get it done. Joe Burrow struggled mightily. I get all of that. I just feel like 16 seems like a lot for Alabama-LSU right now, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, but nonetheless, we'll make that your SEC through. Let me also remind you here really quickly before we look at the Diamond Dogs that when you're dealing with some very serious stuff around your house, cracked foundation, wet spot in your basement, damp crawl space, whatever, you want my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia to take good care of you. The reason why we trust them is because they have a full-time engineer on staff. So simply give them a call at a very easy phone number to remember, 678-ESOG-NOW, 678-ESOG-NOW. All right, it's Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today. And, y'all, I am really, really excited about this evening because I am going to be heading over to Foley Field in Athens for NCAA regional baseball stuff. This is going to be a great weekend with Georgia and Mercer tonight. In fact, let's go ahead and do our Kroger kickoff presented by our friends at Kroger as we look at what's going to happen for the Dogs this weekend. Georgia starting its Athens regional in Athens tonight. They'll host Mercer this evening and they either play Florida State or Florida Atlantic tomorrow. This is a big, big opportunity for UGA here to to right a wrong from a year ago. Georgia did not get out of the regional. This year, I think Georgia's overall a much better team, a much better chance of doing that. And with a chance to host a super regional, which is a much easier path to the College World Series, this is big tonight for Georgia, and it starts with Mercer. And, by the way, one of the most fascinating things about all of this thus far has been the discussion about the choice that Scott Strickland has faced. He's got at least two ace pitchers right now. You may say Cole Wilcox coming on and looking like a potential third, but between Tony Losi and Emerson Hancock, he's got two guys that he really trusts and feels good about. If you want to go back to not all that long ago, it would have been unfathomable that Georgia would start a NCAA regional without Emerson Hancock on the mound, but Tony Losi is going to be the guy for the Diamond Dogs tonight. And yesterday, Scott Strickland, the UGA baseball coach, went into some details about exactly why that is.
Tony Losi's going to start Friday night. So Tony's going to get the ball, and you know, we're excited. I believe he's 10-2, 10-1 in games that he started. So we're excited to get him on the mound. He's a competitive kid, and he wants to win more than anybody. Doesn't matter what you're playing him in, checkers or basketball or whatever it is, he wants to compete and win. So he's going to get the ball on Friday night.
So in the media availability that Scott Strickland had yesterday, when it comes to Losi, that's one of the things that came up a lot, is his mentality, his makeup. At one point in time, Scott Strickland talked about the fact that he kind of pitches angry. In this case, he describes his competitive fire, which is not to say that Emerson Hancock doesn't have those things, but the way that Strickland went into such great detail to kind of brag on Losi for having that kind of demeanor right now, I think that's a pretty good fit for Georgia in this spot right now. You're a heavy favorite in this regional. You're one of the heavy favorites to make the College World Series, and yet you've got the flavor of disappointment in your mouth going back to what happened a year ago. So put your baddest pitcher out there. You know, put your guy that's going to just take that challenge on in such an aggressive fashion. Now, Emerson Hancock's a really big deal when he comes back around, probably on Saturday. But if Losi really is working with the kind of demeanor that Strickland describes him as having there and went into more detail with some of the things that he said, I think that's a massive, massive advantage for Georgia in getting the postseason off to the right mental start. I think that Losi has a chance to do that. And if you can give the pill over to Emerson Hancock the next day, all of a sudden you put yourself from a momentum standpoint in a really good situation to make easy work out of this regional, which is not a soft regional by any means. Mercer's played well at the end of its season. This is Mike Martin, the legendary Florida State coach. This is his final postseason appearance there with the Seminoles. There'll be some emotion around that. All things being equal, Florida Atlantic's probably a pretty good team there too. So there's a lot going on here. So starting with a Losi tonight, working towards maybe Emerson Hancock on Saturday, gives Georgia a real chance. In fact, speaking of Hancock, Scott Strickland also talked about him a little bit as well.
Emerson pitched on Saturday for three consecutive Saturdays, so he's in that routine. Tony was going to pitch on Friday if we were playing at Hoover on Friday, so he was kind of prepared for that. So it's more than anything just staying with their routine where they were. Emerson missed a couple weeks, just a little bit of a lat strain, and he came back in the Auburn weekend, pitched Auburn, pitched Alabama, pitched at Hoover. So our pitching is set up. It threw a little bit of a curveball for us. You know, winning two games, now suddenly we got to play on Saturday. We did not want to get those guys out of their routine too far, and that's why we threw them both on Saturday. We tried to win that game very badly on Saturday, get to Sunday, so we threw both of our guys, but also keeping in mind to keep them fresh for this tournament. So Tony's going Friday, and most likely Emerson is going Saturday. We haven't named that yet. We're preparing him to go Saturday, and that's the direction we think we'll go.
You know, we've said before that my concern is I'm not quite sure how much hitting Georgia has. Does it have enough to get to Omaha? Does it have enough to get the College World Series? One thing we saw from the SEC tournament, the games that Georgia did won, is they had plenty of timely hitting, and that may be what they use. But there's no question whatsoever when it comes to the two guys we just mentioned, Losi and Hancock, and Cole Wilcox kind of factoring that as well. This team's got an Omaha levels worth of starting pitching right now. My expectation is they truly use that to your advantage. It's a Kroger kickoff presented by Kroger. By the way, speaking of Kroger, when I go to Kroger, one of the things that I love is that real dairy milk that comes from Georgia cows. You know, one of the things that I love about Kroger is their support of local agriculture. My family, we love milk. I'm talking about the real stuff, not that fake processed stuff that's not good for you. The stuff that builds your bones and makes your teeth better and just tastes good. My wife uses an ingredient when she cooks. I drink milkshakes all the time. I just love real dairy milk from Georgia cows. I get mine at Kroger, and I think you should too. All right, to wrap up our show and wrap up what has been a very busy week for us, let me remind you, speaking of those lousy, stinking Gators, that there is now What is our Gatorade update or two? Yeah, 944 days. How about that? We are really watching that climb, and I think, you know, based on what I said before, I think we're going to watch a whole nother 365 days worth of this stuff climbing even beyond this upcoming season's game. But I do love it when those point spreads come out for some of these games, even if I don't agree with them all. I love them all because it just lets us know that we're getting that much closer to the start of the season. Seeing the coaches at SEC spring meetings this week kind of get you there as well. There are a few of these corner poles that we have to turn to get towards the fall and the start of the season. And sure enough, one by one, we're knocking them all down and we're getting where we need to go. But before that, we got summertime. Dog Nation Days of Summer is coming up soon. Don't forget, if you want to be a part of our VIP and get your special personalized VIP gift, go to DogNation.com. Get registered by the end of the day today. You got to do that. We'll see you next time on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.